Next, we'll hear from Martin on the Administrative Director's Report.
Thank you, Chief, members of the Council. What I'd like to do is at least offer a couple of comments on the audit and the things that we are doing at the staff level in response to that and how that will intersect back with you here at the Council, and then address some of the things in my written report that is submitted to all of you in accordance with this meeting. With respect to the audit, at the direction of the working group, we were delegated some tasks, and so we have been busy starting our analysis on all of those things. We are roughly taking an approach where we are trying to get to a place where we can comment with full analysis on what implementations we believe should be recommended in full, what recommendations might be implemented in part, and what should those parts be, and then what recommendations in the end of the day we would conclude or recommend don't really make sense in their application, hopefully that third bucket being the smallest, because I think we've all concluded that the recommendations are quite good. And because they are quite good, they require a really meritorious full analysis. And so that roughly has been our approach to all of this. I also want to comment that it was really, I think, good to hear and fortunate to hear the governor's response to some of the questions related to the audit as it connected to our budget last week. We expressed some confidence in the chief and in the council and the groups that are looking at these recommendations since the two issues, it is no surprise, will intersect during the course of the next 6 months as we advocate for our budget. It's for me professionally and personally helpful to receive the audit. In some respects, one way that I look at it is that the auditor and the audit team actually has had probably more time than I have to analyze many of the components related to the Judicial Council staff. And so for me, at least in terms of my arrival, it's very timely in that respect. So I will give it, I believe, the attention that it fully deserves and merits, along with, I'll be candid, a lot of other reports that I've received since arriving here. I think what you can expect is that we will try in our approach to find the things that we can move very swiftly and aggressive on. And in terms of managing people's expectations, as early as February in your next meeting, we hope to be able to report that these are actions that we have already taken or addressed, because some of them can be taken without the council, but then also present those things that we would like to take action on but really require some decision-making by this particular council. We'd also like to identify those things that we think will take longer than perhaps February and longer than maybe even the April meeting. And in the April meeting, you also may be presented with the same kind of topology of how we're approaching it, which that some actions have been taken already and they're advisory to you, but then also there are actions that you may need to be taking in April. And so I think this will be the course, at least as far as we can see, for the first several months in response to the audit, so that it is not a product that sits on the shelf. I think this is consistent with the approach that the council has taken literally with every audit or every approach that's come its way recently, or at least in recent time frame. So again, I wanted to set the stage for that. There are some things that are easier, I think, to address, to analyze and get answers and take actions on, but there is some things that are going to take longer, largely because they are bigger, they are more complicated, and also they are actually dependent on each other. There are some things in there that you have to take actions A, B, C before you actually get to the next thing. We'll do our best to put schedules related to that so that folks can actually track about what kind of activities they can expect when the team is busy putting and lining out the types of steps that can be done in sequence in response, but also some things that might be able to done in parallel, again, to try and accelerate as quickly as we can our response and activities related to the audit. Now turning to the written report. The written report is submitted to you all as part of your materials in the record, but I did want to talk about a couple of items. I wanted to highlight the legislative outreach activities that have been occurring. Certainly there has been activity between the council and the legislature itself, but that's not the only activity that is occurring. We are bringing in executive and legislative stakeholders and partners into the local courts to hear firsthand some of the impacts of the service reductions that are there. One example that is contained in the report is how the governmental affairs staff was working with Alameda and San Luis Obispo courts to host some visits by the Legislative Analyst's Office that express some interest in some of the case management activities that are occurring there. And I think it's always healthy and good that they probe into the operations and the budget impacts and see what some of that is firsthand. I firmly believe that there really is no substitute to walking in the shoes of the folks that are actually administering the activities and the operations out there. I can attest firsthand to the value of that particular approach, because since October I've had the privilege of getting out there to some of the courts and seeing some of the challenges firsthand. But as I've cataloged before, some of the actual good things, innovations and activities that are occurring out there, to which I'm quickly collecting a list that I think become very part of the story to be told by the Judicial Council, as well as the individual courts that are out there, the things that they're doing. And I think we'll be talking during the course of the year of some of those things and how they might actually be scaled throughout the state into the courts of California. Proposition 47 is also a big top-line thing to discuss. We've spent a lot of time on that. Obviously, in the budget, there is some dollars related to that. I wanted to give you some numbers that we've collected to date out there in the system in terms of the impact of Proposition 47 and what it is that we're learning. So far, we've got data from about 35 courts on the workload impact. Those courts are reporting over 40,000 filings for resentencing or reclassifications. And this is between the period of November 5th, the day after the act passed, and December 31st. I don't need to tell you all that's substantial, and it's quite dramatic. Over 1,400 individuals who were incarcerated in state prison out of the 5,300 that we're aware of that are eligible under Proposition 47 have actually been released from state prison to date. I want to thank here and take a moment to thank the presiding judges as well as the CEOs for working really hand in glove with us on this particular issue in terms of the workload data and information. We're a long way from being done by figuring out what the true impacts of this. So I expect a heavy amount of activity, members, between the Judicial Council staff and myself on this particular subject as we go through the coming months. As you know, again, the governor proposed $26.9 million for the trial courts for this particular work. And part of our big advocacy starting last week is to certainly hope that that money is there on July 1. It will make a big difference. Our overriding conclusion on this point is that it, left unaddressed, left unfunded, this workload will make the impacts of budget reductions much more difficult, make the bad things that were occurring worse, and more importantly, make the good things and the good innovations that are occurring throughout the system really harmed or hampered. And so we are very in very strong support of that funding proposal. Phoenix payroll system. What I want to make a brief mention about this is that in the period between the last report and now, two additional superior courts have been seeking assistance from our trial court administrative services office to transition away from their county payroll systems. We expect that Trinity County by July 2015 and Kern County will make their transition. This will bring the total number of courts that are on the Phoenix payroll system to 12. This is support for really 3,200 employees in our system. And the last thing that I wanted to mention is really a good news thing that I think is important to California, important to the council. I want to recognize that we have a first in American history for California's judicial branch, one of the many of which California is famous for in terms of breaking ground in court systems. And that is that earlier this month, the judges of the Superior Court of El Dorado County were cross-sworn into the Shingle Springs Band of Miwok Indians Tribal Court, while the chief judge of the tribal court was cross-sworn into the Superior Court, jointly preside over cases involving tribal members. This is an initiative that grew out of the tribal court state court forum and a council advisory committee made up of superior and tribal court judges, chairs or their designees from several other council advisory groups, an appellate justice, a tribal advisor to the governor, and a director of the California Attorney General's Office of Native American Affairs. And for a note, California has 23 tribal courts that serve approximately 40 federally recognized tribes, and I believe the desire is to replicate this program for those jurisdictions that may want it. And I just think it's a great example of how our court system is continuing to innovate and improve access to justice in a state that really values the diversity among its population, among its people. And I think that is a positive note to strike and begin this year on. So thank you, Chief. Thank you, members. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Martin. I don't think anyone could have said it better than your penultimate sentence. So to El Dorado and team, congratulations.